This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, August 23rd, 2015. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Dr. Tom Rozelle live right now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle live in studio, waiting to take your phone calls on any aspect of health that you can think about. But guess what? From a natural point of view, things that don't cut and don't drug, we've got a different option here. We're going to talk about, you know, the application of natural therapeutics from place of functional nutritional medicine, from acupuncture, naturopathic medicine, chiropractic. All those things that you didn't know where to look for, well, here's your opportunity. This is the place where we get it done. Call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your problems. I'm sure that you've been around the bush three or four times trying to solve it, but come up with the same old, nothing that really works. Well, here's an opportunity. Let's try to fix it and try to make a difference. You know, this is the time of the year for me. We're in the dog days, supposedly, of summer. In some areas of the country, it's been really, really hot, and we've had our ups and downs here in the Washington metropolitan area. And it's been hot, and now it's kind of cooling down. We're getting into that time of the year where it might be really, really enjoyable. Maybe. We'll see. You know, you never know. 5 seconds around here, and the weather changes. But nevertheless, this time of the year, everybody's going back to school, people are on their last leg of their vacations, and we're planning the year. For me, for whatever reason, the fall has always been a start date for me, you know, because of school and sports. I played in the fall when I was in high school and college, and my whole life has been like August, September is the springboard of everything. Some people pick January, not so much. I'm in the middle of my season at that point. And the summer is a transition period for a lot of people, or people shut down. For me, it's always a process of what's next, what do I do, what's going on, and this is no difference. I've had a lot of opportunity in the last several weeks, really, to think and contemplate about what the next steps are in my life and my existence, and as it relates not to me, but it relates to what I do for you and the things that we need to get done together. And that's why I do Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, is to educate you and to give you the opportunity, the capacity to think about things that are different. What we want to talk about a little bit today is the price that you have to pay for ageless health. What is it that you really have to do? You know, coming up in October, October 17th, we have our 15th annual Ageless Health Symposium Conference. It's a day that it just is outstanding, and they keep getting better all the time. We're going to be talking about the brain's impact on body and function and physiology and so forth. But that whole paradigm has to do with something else. We know about the neurophysiology. We know about the energetics that are associated with it. That area of unknown and how it really affects all of us is, I can put it down to say attitude, about the things that we decide upon, how we do what we do. Well, that struck me. You know, I said, because of my experiences with many people over the years, many of you know me, know that I've traveled far and wide, and I've had the opportunity, the privilege of studying with some amazing people. For example, you know, Tony Robbins, who is known to be one of the most powerful, powerful life coaches around. He's one of the top go-to 50 business people in the world. And I met Tony back in January of 1994 and went to treat him. I was asked, you know, to spend a weekend with this guy, which led into about 7.5 years of traveling with him and taking care of him and having the capacity of meeting some amazing, amazing people. But the first night of his seminar process was something called Fear into Power. And this was a 4-day event. And think about it, all those things that you fear, that I can't do this, if I do this, this is going to happen. If I, you know, if I'm not careful and I walk on in traffic, guess what, you're going to get hit, right? And if you, you know, you play with a knife long enough, you're going to cut your finger, you know, particularly if you're not paying attention. But here's another piece. How many of you, if I asked you, go to your stove and you have it set for 400 degrees and it's been cooking now for about, you know, 45, 50 minutes, would open the stove and take your hand and grab the grate without anything on your hand and pull it out. Now you say, Doc, you're crazy. You know, you finally went over the deep end. That's not what happens to anybody that has any brains. Well, I would agree with you in the present capacity of reality. But however, what if I told you that this one night that I met Tony Robbins here in Adams Morgan in front of 1,500 people, that at the end of the first night, we walked across barefooted, 2,000 degrees, very slowly, of hot burning cold for about 15 feet, and there was not a pink spot, not even a little bitty pink spot on my foot. And since then, I've had the experience of walking 40-foot fires and 20-foot fires. And now most of you are sitting there and say, Doc, you really have gone off the edge. Dr. Tom, come on, what have you been drinking? What have you been doing? Why do I bring this up? Well, because of the brain-body paradigm. See, we think that there are fear patterns out there that are justifiable, like walking on fire. We wouldn't do that, or grabbing a 400-degree. But here's walking on coals. They're 2,000 degrees, hot, burning coal. And 1,500 people along with me were able to walk that without any destruction of tissue or impairment to their body. The first question that you should ask, am I telling you a story? The second question is, if I'm not telling you a story, how is that possible? And the third realization is, if I've always been afraid of that and so many other things, I get through that. What can I do with my life? So that brings me into something that we're going to talk about today, about paying the price in your health. Because we have these fixed thought processes that I'm going to get X, Y, and Z because it's in my family. I'm going to get X, Y, and Z because that's my course of my life, and that's what everything has been designed to happen, and I'm at that place in my life, and I'm going to get, you name the condition. I'll let you put the tag on it. It's not okay to accept blindness. It's not okay to say that somebody else is right when there may be another hallucination, another paradigm that might be real relative to your health. In 39 years of practice, I've seen too many people that have been given up for dead or told that they never would be able to do, and you can decide what that is, turn themselves around 100%, heal completely. The absence of the disease is no longer detectable. The presence of the disease is no longer detectable. It's not there anymore. It doesn't exist. How is that possible? The brain-body paradigm, the body, mind, and spirit paradigm is one that we are just beginning to appreciate. On October 17th, we're going to study that a little bit, but we're going to get into it a little bit more. But I've had the opportunity recently to think about that. What does it really mean? And when we talk about the presentation of our lives, what I know for sure is that where we are right now at this moment in time is nothing more than a series of decisions that we've made up until this time. You are where you are right now. You're totally designed to be where you're at. It's perfect. Why? You may not like it, but it's because of all the choices and decisions that you've made. Or in some cases, the unwillingness to pay a price to shift and change. And we're going to talk about that today throughout the program because I think it's important, it's appropriate, that we have to understand that anything, in my opinion, is possible. That you can change anything in any moment in time as long as you're willing to pay the price. Because with a focus, a want to have, there is a price. There is a determination that has already been set in motion that you will have to exchange certain things. Many of us know what we want. I ask you the question, what do you want for yourself? What do you want for your health? How do you see that? And you can describe this beautiful, beautiful tapestry, this picture of where you want to be going forward. But how many are you willing to pay the price that it's going to take to get there when it really is set in front of you? That's the difference, my friends. That's the difference. Will you pay the price? What is it that you really want to do? And are you willing to do what it takes? And are you willing to realize that there is going to be an exchange? That there is going to be a difference. Keep that thought. We're going to come back to it. Joan, how can I help you?
This is a good topic today, the fear. I'm going to be scheduled for an ultrasound on my for my thyroid. I have a thyroid nodule. I wouldn't be so concerned, except in the late 50s, I did have x-ray treatments on my skin, chin area. So I am a little worried, and I just wondered if you would talk about that. And
okay, hang on a second, Joan. Let me kind of share something with you, okay? So yeah. When I was a kid many years ago, okay, which my children would say, you know, before the dinosaurs ruled the earth, my mother, my family had thyroid problems. There was goiters in my family, and several of them had surgery to remove that. And so subsequently, growing up, there was found and that the doctors suspected that I had a thyroid problem, and I was sent in as a teenager twice for radioactive isotope uptake for the thyroid, right? Iodine uptake.
Yeah.
And so it turned out that I had, in those days, a marginal thyroid problem. It was probably more of a thyroiditis because of all, you know, having come from a Sicilian family, pasta and pizzas and bread and, you know, all the stuff, you know, that you ate in conjunction with everything else. And I found out later on that it was highly, highly sensitive to gluten. And so when I've gone back as recently as probably about 7-8 years ago and had an ultrasound on my thyroid, I have a missing left lower lobe of my thyroid, and I have multiple areas of cysts within the thyroid itself. So what I'm going to say to you is this. I don't have thyroid cancer, and even though I've had that exposure, so when you get a nodule that your doctor suspects may be a problem, what I want you to realize that 95% chance of it being benign. And then the 5% that may be malignant, over 90% of those are not problematic. There's only a few. So we're dealing with a very, very small percent that could be any kind of jeopardy to you. And there's a lot of ways that these things can be handled. So first of all, I want you to remember my axiom. When you hear hoofbeats, look for horses, not zebras. Look for the thing that's the most common. And realize that thyroid nodulation can come from many different things. It can come from exposures to toxic elements. It can come from radiation exposure. We're living in a world today of electromagnetics and cell phones and so forth and computer screens and the like. And those things can irritate sensitive tissue. The thyroid, the eyes, the in women, ovaries and so forth are very sensitive tissues to radiation exposure. So that's one thing. Toxic elements that we have in our foods, the runoffs and so forth. All of those things can be problematic. But the bottom line is that I have yet to see a problem that when it is approached properly cannot be dealt with. So if, you know, if we were dealing with you, we'd be looking at the neurological system to the thyroid. We'd be looking at the energetic system. We'd be looking at your diet, things that you're sensitive to. If you have any kind of gluten sensitivity, those are one of the first things that need to go. And, you know, guided through that, because for a lot of us, when we're, you know, when we're stuck on glutens, whether it's wheat or rye or oats or barley and so forth, or the combination of those things, you know, say, oh, my God, what do I eat now? Well, there's a lot of other foods that things that you can do. But on the surface, without knowing much more, Joan, what I would say to you is take a deep breath and realize that it's probably not going to be a problem. And send me some follow-up. Just go to drtomroselle.com, drtomroselle.com, or go to rosellecare.com. Send me a note. Tell me what the outcome is, and I will tell you what I would do if I was in your situation. Does that work for you?
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate all that information and your personal experience, too.
You're welcome, Joan. Like I said, look for horses, not zebras. We're coming up to a break. We got a lot of good things to cover. There's several of you on the line. I will take your calls today, 888-630-9625. Remember that where you are right now isn't where you have to be. It's just an accumulation of all kinds of things, exposures, decisions, and so forth over a long period of time, and you got what you got, right? It's perfectly designed to be that way. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live right at the dial that you're looking at, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. We're going to talk a little bit about the prices that you pay for a lot of decisions that you make in your life. And the thing of it is some of those, what you don't realize is that for every decision that you make, and sometimes not making a decision, that there's a consequence, there is a price. And you wonder why you got where you got. Well, you have to kind of backtrack your timeline and take a look at all those things that you decided upon. But you can change anything at any moment in time. But guess what? There is a price. There is an exchange. There is a determination that you have to make. And we're going to talk about that as much as we can. I want to remind you, October the 17th, Aegis Health 2015 at the Fairview Park Marriott Hotel in Falls Church, Virginia, a day that you will never forget. This program that we've done for 15 years changes every year. This year is about the brain-body paradigm, how things work with that computer between your ears and how it affects everything else about you and all the other pieces. I'm going to talk about the emotional impact. I'm going to talk about putting it all together and why the brain is the new frontier. It's the one that we have to spend the most time on if we're really going to understand what really takes place. I gave you an analogy early on about, you know, fear patterns, and that all of a sudden you find something that you thought was catastrophic, like walking on hot fire, 2,000 degrees of hot burning coal, and you're able to do it safely without a pink spot on your feet. I've done it over a dozen times. How in God's world is that possible? If you thought that was third-degree burns, maybe an infection, maybe amputation, you're going to the hospital, all the things that you can conjure up. But here's, you know, very nonchalant, very carefully, but tell me, it's not nonchalant. It's very, very focused. We're going to talk a little bit more about how that brain works in a few minutes. But right now, I'd like to talk to Charlene. How are you?
Hi, doctor. Are you there?
I am here.
Thank you for taking my call. I have macular degeneration, and I wonder if, other than taking AREDS2 and eating leafy green vegetables, salads, and so on, is there anything else that you can tell me that I should do to address this problem?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that that you can do with macular. Can I? Do you have the wet form or the dry form?
I have the dry so far.
Okay, that's good. At least you have the capacity to stop. You know, along with that, you're going to see formation early on of cataracts. And, you know, there's so many of us that end up with that, which is probably one of the most common progressions as we get older. But
I had those removed.
Okay, see? I figured that you were there with that. But you have to protect the eyes. So you know that the cataract is, an infiltration within the lens itself. And in today's world, if they get them early on now, today, meaning within the last couple of years or so, they can actually use a laser to open them up a little bit. And the technology is going to get advanced over a period of time. But having said that, you know, macular degeneration, age-related macular degeneration is the most common. And it's, you know, we usually start seeing it with people that, you know, are north of 50 years old, but it can, you know, show up earlier than that. And it, unfortunately, it affects millions of older Americans. And, you know, you get into the age group of north of 70, you start seeing more of that. And so what really is the macula? You know, the macula itself, if you look in the eye, is about the size of maybe like a pencil eraser. Okay. It's a tiny little area in the posterior aspect of the eye. It's near the center of what is called the retina. When you think about the retina, think about film in a camera. And you know, it's a deterioration of the cells of this area called the macula. You know, so when you look at somebody's eyes, one of the first things that you look at is you're looking for this little area, this little pencil shaped area, and to see if it's either bulging or if it's normal and so forth. So, you know, when you start getting the symptoms, and I'm doing this, you already know because you got the problem, but I'm explaining to our audience, you start seeing, you know, things that should look straight don't. They kind of bend or they start getting wavy. They start getting dark. And, you know, sometimes if you can get a center spot, and, you know, now you can't see anything in the center. You see everything around the center, but not in the center. You look at somebody's face, you see their hair and their ears, but you don't see their face.
Right.
So, you know, the bottom line then comes to, you know, what is it? Unless I ask you the question, you know, you have dry or do you have the wet form? And the wet form, when we're talking about, is bleeding. So for our audience to understand that. And that's not okay. It's, you know, what's happened is the blood and the fluid within that area, within the vessels, rupture, and it actually causes rapid loss and irreversible loss of the vision at some point. But there are many things that you can do. So, you know, you start with what may be causing the macula to break down. Now, from my point of view, I'm going to look at a lot of different things. I want to look at the energetics and the neurology that controls the eye, and that can come from the cranial bones, the plates of the skull. You have 22 bones in your skull, and they move, they expand, and they contract, and they move spinal fluid. And you have to make sure that that's working. The upper nerves of your neck, cervical 1 and cervical 2, as they exit, that whole area, the lower portion of the brainstem, has an effect on the optic nucleus, which controls the eye in many different situations. Now, having said that, as far as nutrient bases, things like lutein and xanthanes and carotenoids and vitamin A beta carotene, lycopenes, xanthanums, vitamin E, ginkgo, all those things help the eye in the healing process. Blueberries, blackberries, any of the dark pigment berries are excellent for this. Taurine, which is an amino acid that helps with neurological components. The palm oils contain heavy levels of carotenoids. They're excellent, you know, for protecting the eye. So what you're looking for is things that are very strong antioxidants. There are many others that we use in the office, but, you know, kale, the things that you mentioned, the, you know, the green stuff, right? So spinach and kale and collards and romaine lettuce and leeks and peas. By the way, egg yolks as well. You want to get high levels of omega fatty acids, omega 3s, 6s, and 9s. But
good for me?
Yep, 3 and 6.
I
you
love
bet.
My eggs.
You, as long as they're free-ranged organic eggs, we all should eat them unless you know that you're allergic to them. Listen, send me a note at drtomrozelle.com, and I will be more than happy to send you some more directions. But I appreciate your phone call, Charlene. I hope that is somewhat useful to you. Try to give you as much as, again, it's a topic we could probably spend the entire program on. We're coming up to a break. We have to listen to those people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live every week. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Started out the program by saying something to you, and what I said to you is that what you perceive and conceive may not be truth. It may be your truth, and it may be our truth as a society. And I use the example of, you know, in your consciousness that walking on fire, grabbing something that's extremely hot, is going to leave you with damage to your skin. It's going to give you a third degree burn or more sometimes, maybe an infection and amputation. And yet I told you that 1994, I met this crazy man called Tony Robbins, who is one of the top go-to people in the world for coaching and but also business, one of the top 50 business people around. And one of his metaphors that he uses is fear into power, the firewalk experience. And here I was with 1,600 other people, and I was walking barefooted at the end of the night across 15 feet of 2,000 degrees of hot burning coal. And my children have done it. My wife has done it. And many of you are saying, you've really lost your mind. Well, I'm telling you something. I never had any injury from doing any of this. I've walked 40-foot fires and so forth. The only reason I bring that back up is simply this. I want you to understand where you are right now with your perception of your life and the capacity that you have is nothing more than a decision that you've made. And there are prices to be paid along the way with the decision processes. Decision gives you options. It gives you other doors to open and other alternatives and other realizations that may not have been there to begin with, especially when it comes to your health. How many of us buy into the paradigm of take this pill for the rest of your life, or what do you expect for your age? Or, you know, everybody else in my family has it, so I'm going to get it too. It's an inevitable process. Well, what I want you to try to understand is that it is not an inevitability. It's something that you can shift. My life is dedicated to making sure you get that you understand that, to doing as much as I possibly can. We're working with doctors. We're working with our patients. Patient comes in, and we look at them from a multidiscipline point of view, including the emotional aspect. It's critical that you understand that you do have choices. But with choices comes a price. Sometimes the price is not one that you have the emotional matrix to be able to deal with. That's the structural, chemical, emotional paradigm. Pat, how can I help you?
Dr. Rozelle.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a bloating problem. It's it's not new, but it's gotten to be so. If I eat, I bloat, and by the end of the day, I am just like a rubber band around my body.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, okay?
Yeah.
Do you still have your gallbladder?
Yes.
Okay, so anytime you eat something and you bloat and you look like you're becoming, 6 months pregnant, it's usually gallbladder function. And so what that means is that the gallbladder is not necessarily infected. It doesn't necessarily have stones, but it's functionally not working. It's not squeezing the bile. See, your gallbladder and your pancreas work together to break up different types of foods, fats, and vegetable fibers, and so forth. And if the system isn't working the way it's supposed to, then you end up bloating, because your body can't handle it. And all this because your body's going to produce it. It's going to try to release the bile. And when it can't, you're going to swell. And that's one of the indicators. There's others of that phenomena. So what you've got to do is you've got to work with somebody who knows what they're doing, our office or somebody, that's near you. I see that you're in College Park, that knows how to handle that. But you look at it from a neurological point of view. You look at it from a biochemical point of view. You have to identify the allergens. I'll tell you one of the things that the gallbladder is the most sensitive to, believe it or not, is anything that has to do with wheat, breads, and things of that nature will inflame and irritate the gallbladder. Anything that you're allergic to is going to inflame and irritate the gallbladder. So you have to be very careful with how you approach that. Here's what you can do in the short term that won't get you in any trouble. Go to the health food store and ask them to give you some digestive enzymes that will support the gallbladder, but I want you to take them about 20 minutes before you eat. Don't take them during your meal. Don't take them just before. I want you to take them about 20 minutes before you eat and see if that helps you. Worst case scenario, it's not going to do anything, and there's another trigger mechanism. The stomach has to have enough acid that it's producing to trigger the release of bile from the gallbladder. And if the stomach is dry because a patient may be on a proton pump inhibitor, or they're eating things that are causing the stomach to be irritated and so forth, it may not trigger that digestive reaction. So start with that, and then if that may help you. If not, I still think that you're going to need some care, and you need need to have somebody deal with you that knows that area of the body specifically, but also can help you generally, because there's more than just one input. So try that, Pat. Let me know what I can do to help you. I appreciate your phone call. And as always, if there's anything that we can do, please let me know. Sally, thank you for holding and being patient. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you. I woke up yesterday with some slight cramps, nothing really to be disturbed, but it was there on the lower left side. And since then, the only thing I expel what appears to be just tissue and blood. That's... I do have colitis, but I haven't had any attack in about a year and a half.
Well, it sounds like you're coming up with something. So it tells me that, okay, remember how I look at things? I look at things neurologically, biochemically, energetically. And so we have to look at, you backtrack a few days or a week and see what you've been eating that's not usual. Generally, they're going to be soft foods. They're going to be foods that are going to cause inflammation. My mantra has always been sugar sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products in today's world. Take a look at what's there. Soft things that lay in the gut, the inability to evacuate normally, not enough water, so things get hard and they irritate the tissue. That's where you start looking. That I would get a probiotic called Saccharomyces. And
I take probiotics every single day.
I understand, but it's a very specific form I'm telling you to get. There are many different forms of probiotics, and to be able to calm things down, that the Saccharomyces is the one that you use. Also, get some chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is a mucilagen. That means it coats the colon. It'll help help decrease irritation.
Could you spell that, please, for me?
I'll tell you what. Better yet, if you send us a note, because it's involved, I'll give you a couple different things to look for. And then George's aloe, A-L-O-E, George's aloe juice will also help calm the colon down. But you've got to start with eliminating the allergenic reactions within the body, because that will continue perpetuating the problem. So, Sally, send me a note, and I'll be more than happy to direct you and make that you know, hopefully a little bit better for you, but also tell you somebody that can help you. Our office can, obviously. 888-630-9625. Bob, I can't wait for this question. Let's talk.
Doctor, you just repeated your mantra about no coffee, but this week a study was released. There have been some studies weeks ago that said 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day is good for you, but this one was specific for people recovering from colon cancer, that 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day had a marked benefit to all the people in the study.
Well, the first thing I've got to tell you is this, okay? When any study is produced, the first thing that I want to see...
And who paid for it.
I want to know who published it, what did they have to gain by it, and who wrote the check.
Yeah.
And once I have that information, I can tell you. But let me tell you, let's talk about coffee. Are there benefits to coffee? Yes, absolutely. There's a couple coffees that if you're going to drink coffee are probably the ones that you're going to use. One is Kona coffee, but you want to use organic forms. One is Blue Mountain coffee. You want to use organic forms. Why organic? And we're just going to take it in pieces, okay? So why organic? Because coffee, regular coffee beans, huge amounts of pesticides are used to keep the bugs out. And they don't process them, you know, say, oh, we got to get rid of this stuff unless they're organic, and they use organic types of supportive chemistry, which is not going to hurt your body where the other stuff is going to. So that has a tremendous, tremendous impact on liver function. Coffee is a drug. The caffeine in it is a drug. If it's decaffeinated, it's not going to have the effect that these studies are showing. So if you are sensitive to caffeine whatsoever, now you got a catch-22. You have something that works like a drug. It may be useful in some situations, but it's also going to cause other side effects as a result. Phase one filtering in the liver is what has to be working well to have the coffee broken down in its constituents and you'd be able to use it. If the liver's toxic, then you're going to have a problem. Again, first we have to make sure it's organic, but first we got to make sure that it's either Blue Mountain or Kona coffee. Second, that we have to make sure that it's organic.
And where do you go to get those? I mean, I'm just a,
go online and just say organic Kona coffee or organic Blue Mountain coffee. So you have to, you start with that. But if you're going to drink coffee, you limit it. Here's what you need to do as well. Coffee is dehydrating. It's going to take the fluid out of your body. So here's the other side effect. It's going to cause joint spaces to deteriorate. So you need to drink a cup of water equivalent to the number of ounces of coffee before you drink the coffee. So if you're going to have a morning cup of coffee, make sure it meets the requirements that we talked about. And drink water first. After you've had your water that's equivalent or more than the coffee, start and then you sip on your coffee. I would encourage you not to have more than a cup or two. Now, if you are an A blood type, your leptin levels are adequate to be able to handle the components of coffee. If you're an O blood type, O blood types can't handle it. It'll jack you up. It's going to make you nervous. You're going to end up with joint space stiffness because it's an inflammatory component. The coffee itself can be inflammatory. Now, obviously, I'm giving you all the other pieces of it, so you have to weigh the pros and cons. Is coffee something that can have some medicinal effects? Yes. Is coffee something that has also some potential side effects? Yes, absolutely. There was a study that was published, and when I was reading this week, on coffee helping people or protecting people from MS, multiple sclerosis, and it was published in the annual notes, minutes, journals of the American Academy of Neurology. And you know, you go through and you read this stuff, and
who wrote the check for that study?
Exactly. Well, you know, when you go through and you see that it's, you know, the American Academy of Neurology and their annual meeting actually here in Washington, and then you look through the bibliography, and there's huge numbers of bibliographies, and then the people that wrote the check, one of them being one of the coffee manufacturers. So go in and check that out. So it's an interesting study to look at, but, you know, they go on and say that, you know, there was a 33% lower risk of MS among people who consumed, and get this, at least 6 cups of coffee, you know, per day. Right before their diagnosis. I'll tell you something. You drink six cups of coffee every day, and one, your fight-flight system, your adrenal system is going to be flatlined. You're not going to be able to do anything without that coffee. You're decreasing your own cortisol levels within your body because you're going to knock them flat. And you're going to have that, you know, oh, my God, headache. It's like it's as bad, if not worse, than a migraine when you give it up. So when you have those symptoms of trying to get rid of something, that tells you that there's more there than meets the eye. So I hope that helps you. So are there some medicinal effects? Yes. Are there medicinal effects, but also are there some side effects that you have to be extremely aware of and you have to weigh the balance of the two? Absolutely. You know, so for my money, coffee is not something that is in my diet on any kind of a regular basis.
As a last question, if you have a drip coffee where the boiling hot water is going on the coffee, would that not kill most of the germs?
No, absolutely not. And because you're dealing with toxins, you're dealing with chemical toxins. So, Bob, send me a note. More than happy to look at it and see what we can do for you. Bernice, how's Arizona, honey?
Oh, it's pretty hot.
I know. I saw it on the news last night. You guys are in trouble down there.
Oh, gosh, it is hot, yeah. We stay inside and run out to the car and turn on the air conditioner and then go to the store and come back. And
imagine,
it's pretty hot. I feel sorry for the people who have to work outside.
Yeah, this is the time of year that I'm glad I live here and you live there.
Yeah.
Bernice, how can I help you? What's going on?
I have a friend, she's 88, and she wanted to get dental implants. And she's, I think there's some bone there that might not be there in the gums. And so they might have to pull down some sinus tissue or bone or so. And she's kind of concerned about it. You know, it costs a lot of money,
well,
first of all. But also, you know, they give you this form to fill out, says it could even cause this and this and this and death and
absolutely. Well, and
I want to know, can she grow bone if she don't have it in there?
Well, what they end up doing is they give you cadaver bone. They take bone from a dead person, they grind it up, and they pack it in there, and they try to stimulate the attachment that way. So it's a long-term procedure. It takes 6 months just to get it prepared before they can do anything, providing that she's going to heal the way she's supposed to. So there's a lot of things that need to be looked at relative. She needs to see a biological dentist, Bernice, somebody that really understands the natural approach. Send me a note, and I will look up in our tentacles to see who's out there, and more than happy to send you that referral. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We have several other things we have to talk to you. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I indeed have been in studio, try to make that happen all the time, or somebody here to talk to you live. If you want to talk to me outside when I'm not here, it's real simple. Send me a note. Go to drtomrozelle.com. That's drtomrozelle.com, or go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. What I want you to do is I want you to go to agelesshealth2015.com, and I want you to register today. I don't want you to put up another year in your life without having the capacity to make a difference. And this year's presentation, our 15th, going down, you know, into greater and greater excellence of this program, is one that you really don't want to miss. We're going to start out, those of you who've been there, we start out the day when we do demonstrations. We do Tai Chi, we do yoga, we do things like that, and you can participate. You don't get sweaty. There's little things that you can do, but we show you how to do things to take home. That's during the registration period. And then we have some breakfast for you. And then we have organic things that you can nibble on. And then I launch at 8 o'clock, and I do the opening presentation. And I'm going to be talking about restoring your ageless health with brain power. It's going to be something I promise you will be extremely, extremely interesting. And then after that, I'll be introducing speakers. And the next one will be Dr. Scott Lamp, who you've heard on the program many times. And Dr. Scott's going to talk about something called psychoneuroimmunology, the brain's effect on immune system. That's right. Your immune system is controlled by your neurology. You need to understand and know that. And then Dr. Matt Adams, he's going to talk about your gut, the intestinal tract, the second brain. Your intestinal system produces 80% to 85%, depending on the author, all of your neurochemistry. So if your gut's not working the way it's supposed to, you've got cramping, you've got colitis, you have whatever it is, your brain is not going to work either. And you're going to deteriorate faster because the inflammatory reaction it sets up. Then at the end of the morning, we always do it to you. Sue's going to be there. And Sue's going to ruin your lunch. She's going to be talking about, you know, learn how to avoid everyday brain toxins that are killing you. But I promise you, at that seminar, it's not going to be bad because we provide your lunch, and it's an organic lunch, and you're going to enjoy it. But you're going to take her information, and you're going to take it home. Then, you know, we have a lot of things happening at the break and things that you can do, things that you can see. We have vendors. There's going to be somebody there that is going to be showing you what brain mapping is all about, and that is going to be a superb experience for you. Come back in, and, you know, by the way, you're going to be able to see the Ageless Health movie trailer, you know, that PBS special that was done a couple years ago. You're going to be able to see that. And then at 1:40, gentle exercise. Gentle is the key word. That's great for the brain. Who? None other than the love of my life, my daughter, Erin Roselle Poe. She's the one that is going to take you through. Those of you who've worked out with Erin know that she's an amazing, amazing trainer and knows her stuff, knows what she's doing, and has learned our stuff, obviously, since she's been, you know, straight out of the hatch, so to speak. And then later on, Dr. Bryce Miller, and he's going to be talking about emotional stress can damage your memory and capacity to learn. So if you're all messed up and you wonder why you've got those problems, guess where it's coming from? It's coming from that stress that you've been trying to figure out how to get rid of for a long time. Then wrapping it down, the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning, and he's going to be talking about how the brain is actually plastic. It's malleable. It can change, and it changes based on environmental stimulation and things that you do and things that you don't do. And then at the end, I'm going to wrap it all together, and I'm going to integrate the brain and the nervous system through the five factors and show you how you can take all this information and apply it and take it home that night and start something different in your life. Remember, it's a decision process. It's something that you can make a decision about. There's a price to be paid, but there's a benefit to be gained. You have to decide which one has the most power in your life. If you know you could change everything about how you are right now, would you be willing to do what it takes to get it done? That's the question that you have to think about. If you knew you could, would you? If you knew that there was a better place that you could count on, would you go there? You know, every Sunday, same old place, same old time, I try to bring you things that provoke you, that get you to think a little differently, get you to think outside the box. As a guy by the name of Nita Cobain said, throw the box outside the window. I'll see you next week, same time, same old place. Love you all. Bye.